Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Joel chapter 2, we were taught that in the third chapter of the Bible, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ was foretold. Listen closely as we continue that thought today. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see the destruction of Jerusalem, and then he says, after 2 days. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Well, we've had the 2 days, and now the Lord is beginning to work. We see Israel back in the land, starting in Jerusalem, which they entered and took over in 1967, reclaiming their land that had been occupied by others until then for nearly 2,000 years. But they're back in the land after 2 days. You might say, now they're into that third day. We're getting ready for the coming of Christ. We're getting down to the 2-minute warning. The Gentiles, we see them here. And we see the intent of God is being laid out for us again. Now, look at verse 29. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, this happens in Acts 2, 800 years afterward. God had a plan from the beginning. Adam and Eve were not Jew, nor was Abraham a Jew, for that matter. Neither was Israel. That would come later through the tribe of Judah. But there's all of Israel. And now today, it seems like all Israel called Jews. In Genesis 3:15, God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's speaking to the serpent and the woman, speaking of Satan and her. Active opposition, enmity, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, he says, the serpent. Now, the woman does not have a seed. That's from the man. But this is stated to foretell in Genesis 3:15, the third chapter of the Bible, the third chapter of 1,189 chapters that make up the Bible, the third chapter foretells the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, which would be about 4,000 years later. And since birth comes through a woman, God promises a seed that will be able to save all her seed who will come to him. That is why we read, as we read earlier in 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as we read about 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, when the Bible tells us what the mind of God is, regardless of what anyone else says, that's what the mind of God is. Now, there are some people who will tell you that the gospel pertains to only certain people. Only certain people can be saved. And it has already been decided who. Isn't it interesting? They make that statement. But throughout the Bible, we see whosoever. We see, I just shared with you two passages. First Timothy, he'd have all men to be saved. Second Peter 3:9, he said, not willing that any should perish. And so when we see that, we see free will, and we also see that God wants all men to be saved. Why? Because hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't his intent that men go there too, but men do because they reject the Savior. Isn't it interesting? I can ask some of those people, how do you get saved? And they can take you through the gospel and show you God's plan of salvation in the Bible. And I can say to them, so we know that this is the way to be saved, and this is the only way to be saved, because this is what the Bible says. And they say, oh, that's right. So we know this by the Word of God. That's right. Okay, now what passage can you read to me that shows God has elected you, but he's not elected me, or vice versa? How can two people, where one's elected and the other one is not, read the same passage and know they are, and the other one's not? And they'll usually say something like this, well, you just feel it. You just feel it. You just know it. My friend, I'm not basing my salvation on feelings. I'm going to base it on the truth of God. And when he says, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When he said in Revelation 22:17, that whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely, I believe God. I just believe God. I'm going to take him at his word every time over what other men may say. Now, the Old Testament, in there, God chose Israel to carry his message to the whole world. In Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, we read this. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine. What? He's sovereign. He's God. He made it. God's sovereignty is his right to do what he wants with that which is his. And since he's creator, all things are his. And so verse 6 of Exodus 19 says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now notice, above all people. Why would he say that? Because he would make them a nation of priests and an holy nation. Now these elements are so very important. You see, a priest speaks to God for people. If you're saved, you're a priest of God. Revelation 1, 5, and 6 says that he's made us kings and priests. You're saved, 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9, you're a royal priesthood. And your personal responsibility as a priest of God is to talk to God for people, to intercede, and to speak to people for God. Jesus is our great high priest who intercedes for us. But at the same time, he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit via the Word of God, or should we say through the Word of God via the Holy Spirit. He says a holy nation, because we are to demonstrate that we are truly Christian. That is, Christ-like. Now, he repeats much of what he said in 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, that he says here to Israel in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, when he says that they would be a kingdom of priests and, what did he say, a holy nation. Now, you go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he says of the local church, ye are also as lively stone, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And you just go down a few more verses to verse 9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in those verses we see for the church of the New Testament, the Old Testament Israel, a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's what they were to be. So they're to be priests for God, and that's what we are to be. We are a priest for God, as was Israel, was to be a priest for God. And speak to God for people, and speak to people for God. Now, again, we are to demonstrate holiness in our personal life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all the way you live your life. That's what he's saying, be ye holy. So it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, emulating the flesh, the world system, that is, worldliness, and sin, in your ignorance tells you God's mind and what fleshliness, worldliness, and sin is in his sight. Especially when it invades the local church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, goes through a sordid list that are called the works of the flesh. In 1 John 2, 15 through 17, we're told to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, if you really love the Father, you won't love the world system. You won't be trying to promote the flesh. The flesh will not be your arm of strength, but rather the Holy Spirit. James 4:4 says that friendship with the world is enmity with God, is to be actively opposed to him. Therefore, whosoever is a friend of the world shall be the enemy of God. God considers you an enemy if even you're religious and try through the church to rock and roll, to emulate the world, to just religiousize the world by adding Jesus' name to the things you do. Now, I lived in a day when churches had standards. Then they let a worldly music in. Then the dress was no longer modest. It became immodest, very sensual. A large church of about 5,000 people on Easter Sunday, 2 years in a row, had Charlie Daniels and his band to sing. Now,
this is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Bible plans, my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible.